Chapter 5. A month and a half passes. Draco works on the clock. He starts having tea with Andromeda sometimes, and they talk about his mother. Andromeda telling him stories of her when she was young, and Draco telling her stories of her when she was older. It helps a lot with the grieving, as it turns out. Draco feels very fortunate, as morbid as it may be, to have had time to prepare for his mother dying. He may not have known it was going to happen precisely when it did, but he knew it was coming, so he came to terms with it beforehand, as much as anyone does in that situation. In a way, he was mourning her loss before he ever lost her, and learning to carry on through it, which allows him to do so now. He carries on and misses her every day. Molly sends some food through Harry when she finds out, and then offers him condolences and a hug the next time she sees him. Hermione doesn't offer him condolences at all, just carries on with him as she has been, treats him like he's not fragile, which is honestly what he prefers, and somehow she knows that. It's Ron, though, that really gets to him. "Grief never goes away, but eventually that stops feeling like a bad thing," Ron says, with kinder eyes than Draco ever knew he had. "Oh," Draco replies, then probably begins to cry for the first time in weeks, with no warning whatsoever, because breaking down into tears in front of one person he bullied apparently wasn't enough. "Shit," Ron blurts out, eyes bulging. In his blatant panic, he raises his voice to shout, "Harry!"
"What?"
Harry asks, sticking his head out of the kitchen where he's getting the tea ready. He takes one look at Draco and snaps up straight, eyes going wide behind his stupid glasses.
"Christ, Ron, what did you do to him?"
"Oh, I didn't do anything. He started crying."
"You made him cry?"
"Oh, I don't know. Oh, I didn't mean—"
Draco groans in his palms very loudly. And then his tears are actually just laughter, because somehow this is all so funny. He wipes his face, shakes his head, cuts into their picking to very sharply declare,
"I'm fine, you witless wastes of oxygen. I'll be even better if you two would do me the favour and shut up, because there's nothing quite as grating as the sound of your stupid voices fumbling through foolish attempts to string thoughts together you don't actually have, as your skulls are nothing more than cavernous breeding grounds for the origin of all things useless and pathetic."
Ron and Harry stare at him, then exchange a look, and Ron gives a shrug.
"See? He's fine."
"I'm telling Hermione," Harry mutters.
And Ron gasps.
"You wouldn't!"
"Watch me."
"This has gone too far, Harry,"
Ron announces, following Harry into the kitchen.
"You're conspiring with my girlfriend."
"In case it escaped your notice, Ron, I've been doing that for years."
"Yes, but on his behalf. I don't deserve this. You don't love me the way you used to. It's supposed to be me and you, mate. Me and you."
Telling Hermione that too.
"Harry!"
The door shuts behind them. Harry's laughter and Ron's dramatic performance fading once it does, while Draco sits down and waits for tea in the blissful silence. When Hermione turns up later, the very first thing Harry says to her is,
"Ron made Malfoy cry."
"Oh, for fuck's sake!"
Ron groans, tossing his hands up, and Draco laughs, which is for the best, because if he cries in front of the last one he bullied out of these three, he's going to pack all his things and take a very long vacation at the bottom of the ocean. Draco opens his door, not entirely surprised to find Harry standing on the other side, hands stuffed in his pockets.
"Listen," Harry says firmly,
marching right into Draco's flat like a man on a mission, swiveling on his heel to face Draco the second he shuts the door.
"I know I'm not the best with
anything,"
Draco offers.
Harry scowls at him. "Shut your arrogant, overcompensating mouth for 5 minutes and let me talk. I've something to say."
"Clearly,"
Draco mutters under his breath, turning to try and brush past Harry, fully intended to go get some wine for support through whatever this is. But Harry catches his arm and stops him, holding him in place, the intensity of his eyes as ensnaring as ever. Draco swallows thickly.
"Oh, okay, you certainly do. Yes, I'm listening. I'm not good at—"
Harry makes a face, grimacing, and his fingers twitch against Draco's arm.
"Feelings. I'm pants of them, really. Making sense of them. Expressing them. Even feeling them at times. I've never been... Well, I'm stunted, you could say."
Draco blinks slowly.
"Emotionally stunted, you mean?" "Just so," Harry agrees, his tone clipped. "All that is to say, I'm not good with other people's feelings either. Which means sometimes I say things or do things that upsets them, and I don't realise it. Or I fail to connect with them on things most other people would."
"All right,"
Draco says, eyebrows raised.
"This means, generally speaking, I'm shit at being comforting. Harry tells him. He's grimacing again. I know I've not been just after your mother died. I haven't...
Potter, Draco cuts in,
realising all at once what Harry's nattering on about now.
Stop while you're ahead. I do not need or want you to comfort me about my mother. I've no interest in wallowing, and I'm not... I'm...
He huffs, trying to find the words to explain how complicated it all feels.
I don't... It sounds insensitive, but I made my peace with it long ago, or mostly, so I'm carrying on with my life as I always do, just as she wanted me to. I'm not seeking comfort or pity, certainly not from you. I just...
Harry chews on the inside of his lip for a moment, eyebrows pushed together, that tantalising wrinkle of skin tucked neatly between them.
I can't help but notice you don't come over as much as you used to. Not that I care, obviously.
Obviously, Draco echoes in a soft huff of laughter, gaze roaming over Harry's face, making out a tint of red glowing under his skin. Harry coughs, his fingers flexing on the bend of Draco's arm.
Just, I did notice, in an idle observation, that I had randomly.
Draco exhales, long and sweet, sort of laughing and sort of sighing. It's a very wistful sound, but this is a very wistful feeling deep in Draco's bones, at the heart of him and far beyond that. So he doesn't blame himself for giving in to the urge to reach up, as if possessed, and touch the twinkle between Harry's eyebrows. Draco presses his thumb to it, gently, not at all surprised to find it soft. Draco attempts to smooth it away, stupidly. Well, that's what he thought he was doing. Thought he'd put Harry in his forehead hard and then laugh about it, as if he's a child. Thought he'd get rid of that absurdly enthralling frown in between his eyebrows and then forget about it instantly, as if it's that simple. Draco doesn't do that, however. Doesn't really do much at all, at first. Just holds his thumb there. Then his hand tilts as his thumb swipes over Harry's right eyebrow, as if trying to pull them apart. And Draco can see Harry's face now, properly, past his own wrist. Harry looks at Draco in blatant confusion, but makes no move to stop him, holding still, allowing the contact without protest. Draco sees Harry like that, confused but willing, and feels his stomach toss and turn restlessly, like it can't sleep. From the confusion, obviously. Whose, you may ask? Well, don't, because Draco couldn't tell you. Right this particular second, Draco has no confidence or control. All of it toppled over and dismantled one slow flutter of green eyes, so he's moving purely on instinct, primarily without thought or greater sense, as if he's in a trance. He feels like he is, for just a moment, like the rest of the world is a stage, and the curtain has finally come down. And all that exists in the gentle dark behind it is this. The way Harry Potter looks at Draco when his fingers curl up and graze along the arch of his cheek in a tender stroke. As swiftly as it began, it ends when Harry blinks again and asks, very quietly, what are you doing? Which is a very good question. And not one Draco has an answer to. Or at least, not one he's willing to learn the answer to. So he realises his only choice is to punch Harry Potter in the face. This is why he says, very solemnly, leading you into a false sense of security, then attempts to do just that.
Malfoy!
Harry catches his wrist, jerking back out of range of the incoming hit, eyes bulging.
Did you just don't look at me like that? You're the one who let your guard down. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Nothing. I'm literally perfect, Draco informs him, reaching up to pat his cheek as condescendingly as possible, squinting through his smile as Harry stares at him blankly. Merlin, but confidence is one hell of a drug.
Fancy a glass of wine?
He doesn't wait for an answer, swiveling away to locate his wine, of which one glass won't be enough. Of that, he's quite certain. Behind him, from the other room, Harry's grumbling under his breath.
Many things are wrong with. Can't list them all. Try to hit me, the fucking lunatic.
Utter tosser.
If you must know,
Draco says as he re-enters the room, leading Harry over to the sofa. I've not been by as often because... He blows out a deep breath as he graciously throws himself in his seat, which makes Harry's eyebrows rise as he lowers himself down on the other end of the sofa and takes a glass of wine that Draco offers him.
Well, because after Mother died, it sort of felt like my capacity for life shrank. I don't know how to explain it, but everything I could deal with on a daily basis got smaller. I've gotten another artifact to repair. I've taken to having tea with Andromeda sometimes.
My friends have reached out more often to check on me once they heard the news. So there have been visits, and there's still the clock to focus on. Everything just feels so...
hectic, Harry offers.
Yeah, Drake exhales, still slumping. He gulps some more of his wine than he probably should. I mean, have you ever felt like everything is all happening at once?
Harry coughs around a laugh. Who, me? Never.
Drake gives him a flat look, and he smiles.
Yeah, I know a thing or two about that. Best thing I can tell you is just do what you can, take things as they come, and your capacity for life will expand again.
You know about the shrinkage, then?
Terrible way to describe it, but yes. I wasn't doing very well after the war. For quite a while after. In fact, I pushed everyone in my life away. But fortunately for me, they're all rather stubborn, so they didn't go anywhere. If it wasn't for Teddy, I'd probably been like that for a lot longer.
It was difficult for you, wasn't it? Draco murmurs, after another deep swallow of his wine. He glances over to find Harry's eyes as green as ever, but haunted with ghosts of war now, as if they exist there, as if he can always see them.
Yeah, Harry says quietly. It really was.
Draco downs the rest of his wine and refills it, then clears his throat and mumbles, It should have never been on you.
What?
The war. Defeating Voldemort. All of it. Harry blinks and looks over at him, possibly because of Draco's hesitance over the name. But all he says is,
It was fate.
No.
Yes, there was a prophecy about it and everything.
I know, but... Draco pauses, jaw clenched. Then he shakes his head sharply. You didn't deserve that fate, then. It wasn't fair. I don't care if you're Harry Potter. You never deserved that.
Sometimes, Harry murmurs. I think that's the worst part. And then I feel selfish for thinking it.
Of course you would.
Well, someone had to do it, and fate decided it was me. It's done now, in any case. I'm never not glad it's over.
Draco drinks some more, then mutters, Trust me, we're all glad it's over. I just wish I didn't have to thank you for it.
Because it's me.
Because I'm enough of a selfish, shameless prick to wish it had been anyone else.
Except, if it was anyone else, you'd feel that way for them.
What? Draco swivels his head to stare Harry in disbelief. Harry looks absurdly bitter. Is that what you think? Do you believe I'm only your mortal enemy because you're Harry Potter? Harry's lips twist.
Aren't ye?
Think about why you were so intent on hating me to begin with. Because of my fame. Because of your father's influence, since I destroyed Voldemort as a baby. Because of my involvement in... Because, Draco cuts in, you refuse to be my friend.
What?
Harry blinks rapidly and looks over at him. Draco huffs and throws back more wine, because he's going to need it for this. The rest of that. Merlin, those were just little addendums. No, it was really because you wouldn't be my friend. I hated you from that moment on. It all started there.
You're joking.
Not at all.
Draco, that's humiliating.
I'm aware. Harry chokes out a laugh, stunned, shaking his head and sipping his wine as he stares off into the distance for a bit, as if he needs a moment to reevaluate some things. Then he blinks violently and looks at Draco again.
Yeah, all right. But why did you want to be my friend in the first place? Because I'm Harry Potter.
So what? In some other life without the Dark Lord, you think you would have been my friend?
Most likely not.
Exactly, Draco points out. So either way, the results are the same. I would have ended up hating you no matter what.
Right, but you wouldn't have wanted to be my friend if I wasn't Harry Potter. If I was just Harry Potter.
Harry Potter isn't real. Harry Potter is, and I've always hated him. I was always going to, regardless of fame or fate.
Somehow, Harry muses, that's the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
Don't get used to it.
Trust me, I know better. You're too much of a brat to be charming.
Fuck off, Draco gasps. I'm extremely charming, just not to you, which is a given, and not something I can be blamed for.
You get out of your way to be awful to me.
I do, yes.
Funny. Harry says,
lips curling up.
That sounds like special treatment to me.
Now, why do I get special treatment, Malfoy?
Tell me that. Because you're Harry Potter. Why else?
Harry sighs and leans his head back against the sofa, gazing over at Draco through half-lidded eyes.
I'm not sure I ever fully understand you.
Are you trying to? Draco asks.
Constantly, Harry admits quietly. Consistently, too. I can't figure out how to stop.
Well, you already know the worst of me, so...
There's so much more to you than that.
Draco looks away, warm in the face, doing some quick thinking on how he'd get away with murder.
He clears his throat.
Well, you'll never know it all, so you may as well quit while you're ahead.
Ah, Harry muses. But quitting's not in my nature, remember?
Potter, you'd need a whole lifetime.
What's wrong with that?
Surely you can think of countless answers to that question, Draco says, arching an eyebrow.
Harry arches an eyebrow right back. Why would I need to? I'm not the one asking, am I? You are, so you tell me.
You hate me.
Do I?
Draco stares at him, and Harry isn't looking away, issuing a challenge that, for the first time, Draco is more than willing to back down from. He looks away and says, softer,
I hate you. Do you? Harry asks,
and Draco can't resist peeking over at him. As soon as he does, Harry's mouth turns up in one corner.
I don't think you do.
We just went over this, didn't we? Draco mutters, knocking back more of his wine. I'll always hate you.
Even when you don't?
Even when I don't.
Harry chuckles. Yeah, all right. I see what you mean.
Draco snorts, blinking slowly through his next swallow of wine, really starting to feel it now. It's making him sleepy, but he refills his glass anyway, fighting off a yawn. The silence stretches for a while, warm and comfortable. This is a mistake, immediately, because a yawn rips right off his throat anyway, but he ignores it by drinking more wine, leaving only a few sips in his glass, except this doesn't actually help, because it only makes him more fuzzy and loose. He isn't sure how it happens, but eventually, his head is dropped back against the sofa, and his eyes have drifted shut. Harry makes a low sound, and Draco hums back in response to prove he's still awake, because he definitely is.
Draco, Harry says softly, do you not want to spend time knowing me, too?
Yeah, Draco mumbles, his words a little clumsy and slurred together.
The best and worst of me?
All of you, really.
Right, Harry whispers, and then things go quiet again.
Draco's hand must go slack around his glass at some point, because he feels it tugged from his loose fingers as Harry murmurs to him indistinctly. He hears the distinct sound of the glass being set down, then feels warmth brushing the side of his neck. There's a hum from Draco, or he thinks there is, but the world's gone all topsy-turvy and out of reach, oblivion slowly winding up the length of his spine like a pet snake returning home. The world itself shapes around Draco anew, something soft surging up to meet the length of his side, and a pillow with a texture suspiciously exact of the arm of a sofa coming to rest under his cheek. What follows is a miraculous weight of warmth draped over his body from the other side, swaddling him somehow. Then a wisp of touch across his hairline, brushing tenderly across his forehead. Everything goes blissfully dark, and Draco sinks into it, until he blinks himself slowly, sluggishly out of it to find that it's morning and he's curled up on a sofa, tucked up under a blanket. For some reason, that morning, Draco feels like his capacity for life has expanded a little overnight.
What are you looking at, Potter? Nothing, Harry says quickly, caught like a child causing trouble, head jerking to the side swiftly, gaze averted.
Draco narrows his eyes, waiting, and sure enough, those horrible green eyes inevitably crawl right back over to him, then flit away in a snap as soon as Harry realises Draco can see him. For some reason, Harry's being even more of an idiot than usual today, which has been happening with increasing frequency for the last week. He keeps looking at Draco, which isn't abnormal on the whole, but something about how he's looking makes Draco irritated like nothing else. He isn't sure, really, what it is, which is infuriating enough on its own, but he is sure he doesn't appreciate at all the way it gives him the urge to squirm a little bit. From discomfort, obviously. Draco really hopes this isn't some sort of attempt at comforting about his mother's death again. Really, he's made his peace. He's cried. He's laughed.
His visitor's mother saw on Teddy's wall more than her grave, and he's carried on. Sometimes, at the end of the day, that's really all you can do. The grief doesn't always feel like a bad thing, as one said it wouldn't, because Drake eventually works out it's just another form of love. So honestly, he's doing much better with it, balancing it properly. Andromeda helps, and Harry helps in his own way, even if he isn't aware of it, which is more than enough. Too much, really. If he's trying anything else with all that looking he's doing, Drake just might scoop his eyeballs out with a spoon.
"You're doing it again,"
Drake snaps, when Harry's eyes make their way back, as if they can't help it.
"I'm just looking," Harry snaps back, scowling. "Can't I look?" "No." "Why?"
Harry grumbles, petulant about it, pouting almost. He's so fucking grumpy all the time. Draco hates it because it puts that stupid, irresistible wrinkle between his eyebrows.
"Why can't I look? Why do you have to be so difficult about everything? My body, my choice, or whatever Granger's been banging on about lately. That's not. And my choice is for you not to look at me,"
Draco presses on, his voice sharp, putting his foot down. No more of the looking. No more.
"Stop it right now. Keep your stupid eyes to yourself."
"My eyes aren't stupid. They're my mother's.
They're yours, and I hate them."
Harry rolls those eyes, then defiantly fixes them right on Draco, because, of course, he would.
"Well, that's just too bad." "All right, that's it," Draco decides,
pushing away from the counter, fully intending on leaving the room. Maybe go talk to Teddy, who is upstairs and undoubtedly more suitable company.
"Wait, no, okay, I'll stop," Harry says,
laughing breathlessly, reaching out to catch Draco's wrists and pull him back.
"You're not stopping,"
Draco grits out pointedly when Harry continues to look at him, now with mirth in his eyes. Harry emits, grinning.
"Shut up and deal with it."
Draco scoffs and looks away.
"Aren't you supposed to be making lunch or something? And why don't you have a chair in here for me yet? Forcing me to stand around all the time. Some host you are."
"You're conveniently forgetting the part where I never actually invited you into my house to start with."
"I haven't forgotten, no, but it's irrelevant because I don't care."
Harry snores.
"Go get your own chair if you want it that bad. You know where it is." "I'm a guest."
"You're not, actually, as we just talked about."
"You go get me a chair and make me some tea while you're at it."
"Make your own damn tea. I'm making lunch."
"You're not doing anything. Just standing around uselessly, looking like an idiot. You really should have changed your career to troll wrangling. They mistake you for their own kind."
"I thought spending time with trolls was your thing." Draco squints at him.
"Potter, that's rude. Crab's dead. You shouldn't speak ill of the dead."
"How your own hypocrisy doesn't rise up in the middle of the night and strangle you, I would generally never understand," Harry says, shaking his head.
"You know, sometimes I ask myself what I did to deserve this. I mean, what even brought you to my door in the first place? What even gave you the idea? I..."
And Draco stops, then blinks, because he suddenly remembers, all at once, that there was a whole point to all of this. Admittedly, somewhere along the way, he may have forgotten that bit. In fact, he forgot about the girlfriend entirely.
Potter, quick question, if you don't mind."
"What?" Harry asks, arching an eyebrow.
"You trust me, don't you?"
"I've never trusted anyone less."
"Ah, yes, because I'm sure that the Dark Lord incited such feelings of faith within you."
"Well, at least it was consistent."
Draco huffs. "I'm serious. I don't have time to go around in circles with you right now, Potter. I need you to listen to me."
"I'd literally rather die."
"Then we have something in common. But alas, that seems to be yet another thing you fail at."
"Shame that. I really wish you'd do me the favour." "No, you don't."
"Well, I can't die until you do, and your stubbornness is giving me the urge."
"Oh, I lived just to spite you, Draco," Harry says sarcastically,
rolling his eyes, and yet he's stifling laughter all the while. "You know, when you finally stop being an idiot and actually listen to me, you're going to feel very stupid. Don't say I didn't warn you. I have. You want to argue, but this is important."
"You know what's important? My sanity. And yet you feel the need to test it every day."
Draco pauses, then smiles. "Well, yes, I do, rather."
Harry huffs out a laugh and offers Draco a quicker grin that he has seen no Draco despises, flicking his gaze over Draco with a low hum. "To answer your question, is a yes."
"You trust me?"
"Yeah,
Besides, I also trust my ability to pummel you if necessary. And don't think I can't or won't, because I can and will.
Oh, I'm shaking in my limited edition dragonhide boots.
Draco deadpans. And Harry's eye twitches with irritation. It makes Draco smirk in victory.
In any case, I can explain now that I know that. The first time I turned up, it was actually because of the girlfriend.
Who?
Your girlfriend, Potter. Keep up.
What?
Harry looks baffled.
I didn't have... Wait, do you mean Iris?
Draco snaps his fingers and points at him.
That's the one. She and I broke up ages ago, Harry says slowly.
I beg your pardon,
Draco retorts, head swiveling forward a bit as his eyebrows fly up.
You what now?
Harry stares at him, equally bewildered. We broke up.
Since fucking when?
Didn't you know? The day she came over and... Well, you know, reacted to you as she did. We fought, then ended things at the door. We weren't serious anyway, and she didn't seem eager to meet Teddy, so it wasn't going to go anywhere between us. That was just the day it happened. You really didn't know?
No, of course I didn't know,
Draco chokes out.
You never mentioned it, did you?
Well, I don't know. I didn't think about it, I suppose. Everyone else knew. Besides, I've not talked about her in ages.
You barely talked about her when you were dating her.
Huh? Harry raises his eyebrows. Suppose you were right then. Wasn't going so well after all.
Draco stares at him, wanting to just give him a good wallop, or maybe grab him and shake him violently for failing to mention this, because it feels so incredibly important somehow. This new information feels vital to Draco, and he's gone months now not knowing about it. Sure, his life has been busy, and he's been very distracted, but he's certain he would have been happy to know this.
From relief, obviously.
Because of the plan. Because of the whole point to invading Harry's life in the first place.
Ah, would you look at that.
Draco didn't even have to work that hard. Didn't really have to do anything at all, in fact.
Merlin, his plans are flawless.
Oh, Draco says, exhaling and relaxing all at once. Well, in that case, never mind.
No.
Harry says at him incredulous. Never mind nothing. You showed up to my house because of my girlfriend, you said. What do you mean by that? It's really not that important. Anyway,
no, back up. We're not blowing past this, Draco. What do you mean you came here the first time because of Iris? That doesn't make any sense.
What does she have to do with anything?
Potter, you didn't even know I was dating her. You, or did you? Unless you did.
I mean, you asked. But wait, you knew.
Well, Draco mumbles.
Yes, technically, but...
Harry's beginning to look angry.
Technically, either you did or you didn't. Did you know or not?
Yes, but...
So you knew, lied about knowing, and found a way for me to tell you because...
Why?
You came here because of her.
Wait, do you fancy her? Is that what...
Draco chokes. Merlin, no, of course not.
That's what it sounds like.
Believe me, it definitely wasn't that.
I'm not sure I believe you, actually.
Was that...
Is that why you started showing up? Hoping to get to her through me?
You couldn't be farther from the truth if you tried.
Except it sort of seems like that.
For fuck's sake, Potter, I'm gay!
Harry's mouth snaps shut. He blinks a lot, very rapidly, then stops blinking at all for a while, gaze on focus. Needing some time to process that, most likely. But Drake is in no mood to give it to him.
I wasn't chasing after your girlfriend,
Drake continues dryly. Arms crossed tight over his chest.
In any case, if I were, it'd be stupid to try it through getting close to you. What sense does that make,
None.
That's not what I was doing.
Right. Harry clears his throat. Right. Okay. Brilliant. That's really brilliant. I mean, that you're... Just... It's great. Excellent, even. Really, really excellent.
He trails off, still looking a little dazed. And then his eyebrows furrow as he reaches up to scratch at the back of his messy hair, visibly bewildered.
If you weren't doing that, what were you doing?
Draco heaves out a deep breath he wasn't aware he was holding, some of the tension melting out of his body.
That day I showed up here the first time. Right before that, I overheard the girlfriend.
Ex-girlfriend.
I overheard the ex-girlfriend, Iris.
Yes, whatever.
Draco rolls his eyes, huffing. I overheard her talking to someone in the witch's ladle about her boyfriend, but I didn't know it was you at the time. She said some unsavoury things about this boyfriend that made it clear that she and him were incompatible. And I would have minded my business. Wouldn't have got involved if she hadn't mentioned that was you. Maybe not even then, to be honest. It was just... She made it clear she was only dating you because...
Because I'm Harry Potter, Harry says.
His face blank and voice entirely devoid of emotion, suddenly.
Yes, Draco admits, wincing. Well, that, and it... It got her promotion at work. Anyway, that's not... The point is, I overheard all of this, and... I don't know, I just... Before I even thought of it, I was at your door. I intended to warn you.
Harry's jaw clenches so hard the muscle on his cheek actually twitches, and his eyes are getting brighter and brighter from increasing fury.
Is that so? Funny, I don't quite remember the warning.
Yes, well, there's a reason for that, you see, Draco says weakly,
not at all as confident at the moment as he'd like to be.
When I ended up at your door, it struck me how mad it was for me to just show up and... I mean, you wouldn't have believed me. Of course you wouldn't have. I'm me. We hadn't spent any time together, and so you only think I was trying to sabotage your relationship in some way. You'd think I'd had bad intentions. You'd think I was up to something.
This is what I mean, Harry says stiffly. When I say you're the difference between right and not wrong, this is precisely what I mean. Do you know what I would have done if roles were reversed? I would have knocked on your fucking door and immediately told you what happened. I would have explained. I would have given you the information right then and there.
Come off it, Draco scoffs. I couldn't do that. How was I to help you if you wouldn't let me?
That's not the point. The point is, you should have told me. It was my relationship, my life. You said nothing, did nothing, and so I carried on dating someone who only wanted to be with me for my reputation. Something you know I hate. You wanted to help me so badly that you wouldn't let me help myself. Also, you could feel good about doing good, not just to do good. Can't you see the fucking difference? You're the fucking difference.
What good would it have done to tell you if you wouldn't believe me anyway? It wouldn't have changed anything.
You don't know that, Harry shouts. You didn't even try. You stood by all this time and did nothing. You never said a word, Draco, and Christ, she nearly met Teddy. You were there that day, and you didn't... You never even...
She didn't, though. She...
That's... How are you missing the point? You know how I felt about her meeting him. You know how important he is to me. And you still did nothing. You never told me.
I just tried to. Literally, just now.
Oh, yes. Months after the fact. Well done on that one, really.
Terribly sorry I got him caught up with a few things, like my mother being ill, then dying. That's my mistake,
Draco hisses, lip curling up in a sneer.
Life got away from me. You have my deepest and sincerest apologies for being fucking human.
No, you don't get to do that, Harry retorts harshly. You had more than enough time to tell me. You had countless opportunities to mention it. You just, what? You were waiting for me to trust you? Are you really so insecure that you believe it takes this long for me to actually listen to what you had to say? Do you truly think so little of yourself? Of me? I forgot, all right, Drake explodes,
throwing his arms up, his whole chest burning with pure rage.
I fucking forgot. I got so caught up in one part of the plan that I forgot the rest.
Harry's eyebrows fly up, head tilting, eyes flashing.
Excuse me? The plan? There was a plan.
There was... I had... I... Well...
Draco clears his throat, then says, rather delicately,
you know what? That's not very important, so let's just...
What plan? Harry cuts in,
his voice sharp, fully not fucking around.
Oh, Draco is so stupid. He's losing control of all of this. Well, see, I...
Draco winces, then purses his lips, taking a moment to remember who he is. He wrangles his confidence back into submission and straightens up, standing taller, because he's nothing to be ashamed of or apologetic about. It was a good plan. He stands by it, and he's taking control back.
If you must know, I plan to become someone you trust. I had all intentions of telling you once I was certain that you'd listen, and I would have if I hadn't forgotten, if life hadn't become so hectic. I was trying, actually. That was the whole point of spending time with you.
Is that so? Harry asks quietly.
Draco nods, quite certain that Harry will understand, now that he knows the whole situation. He's pleased with himself, even,
smug about his efforts and how they paid off.
Oh, well, mostly.
Yes, do you see now?
Yeah, I see. I'm seeing very clearly now.
Wonderful, because I see you barge into my life under false pretenses, Harry continues, his voice flat.
You deceived me, on purpose.
Pardon? Draco blinks. Well, no, not as such. I didn't...
Harry pins him with a look so piercing that it makes all the words dry up in Draco's mouth on the spot.
You concocted a plan to invade my life and get me comfortable with you, so I'd trust you, using false proximity as a tool.
Do you deny it?
I... No, that was the plan, Draco confesses slowly, hesitant now, because Harry's clearly still furious. Perhaps even more so. His rage is quiet now, which might be worse.
I'm not sure why you're upset about this.
You can't imagine why false pretenses and deceit would be upsetting? Harry asks, his voice very even.
Draco opens his mouth, closes it, considers turning on the oven and crawling in it to escape this moment, because this might be the most foolish he's ever felt.
Now that you mention it...
Get out, Harry says. He says it so softly.
Wait, no, okay, Draco croaks, heart slamming relentlessly against the cage surrounding it. Listen, just Merlin, when you put it like that, of course it sounds awful, but I wasn't...
Draco, Harry cuts in, his voice still soft. Please leave.
Just...
Don't make me tell you again.
Harry,
Draco whispers.
That apparently is enough to make Harry snap.
Barely a beat passes before he's exploding.
Out! Get out! Get out! Get the fuck out of my house! Now!
The door to the kitchen flings open with a loud bang, amidst all the bellowing, slamming into the wall, a clear dismissal. If that wasn't enough, everything begins to rattle on the counter. The usual tea tray and assortments clatter wildly, close to shattering. There's a stirring gale growing, a swirl of wind that tingles, even though the room has no window. Draco can practically sink his teeth into the crackling magic exuding off of Harry at the moment. He's every inch of the powerful wizard that defeated Voldemort. More awe-inspiring and terrifying than you think possible. Frankly, it's all very dramatic. Draco's having approximately none of it. He swivels against the counter to reach over and poke Harry's chest, glaring at him, declaring,
No, I'm not going anywhere until you hear me out, so you can take your tantrum and shove it up your arse, Potter.
Get out, Harry snarls, as loud as before, positively fuming.
Draco half expects him to start steaming. His eyes are as devastating and heart-stopping as the killing curse.
I don't want to hear another word you have to say. I don't want to hear from you ever again. I don't care.
Yes, you've made that abundantly clear.
It wasn't a false pretense or deceit, Draco yells. I had a plan, yes, but it wasn't about that.
You barged your way into my life for no other reason than your own gain, Harry shrieks.
What the fuck else would you call it? And what made you think that was okay?
You, fuck, you actually led me into a false sense of security. You got close to me, and not just me, but my godson.
Teddy adores you, you fucking prick. You can't do that. You can't just show up all the time, invade my life the way you have, the way you did, and then leave.
I'm not trying to leave,
Draco chokes out incredulously, eyes bulging.
You're the one who's kicking me out.
Yes, because of why you're here in the first place, Harry roars. And something next to the stove shatters into pieces.
You're here for a plan that you failed to see through to the end anyway.
Christ, you don't even want to be here, do you?
Are you fucking stupid? Draco bursts out.
Why do you think I failed to see it through in the first place?
Why do you think I forgot it? How thick can you get? Of course I want to be here. Being with you is all I want.
Pause. There are three facts about Draco Malfoy that have impacted his life and made him into the man he is today. 1. He has the dark mark on his arm. He became a Death Eater at 16, and he wanted to. He wanted to for glory. He wanted to just to feel grown up and mature and capable. He wanted to from fear, to be safe, because he wanted to achieve something and because he was scared. He was a child and he was a coward. 2. He has to make the effort to do good. Sometimes he fails. It doesn't come to him instinctively. It doesn't come to most people instinctively. But he's often held to a different standard than others. He literally has to make the effort to do good. As in, He's not given much room by the rest of the world to make mistakes, since he's already made the worst possible one in their eyes. He is expected to redeem himself, but redemption is a fallacy. So there's nothing he can truly do to make up for past mistakes. Not to them, other than not make any others. Being that he's human, just like everyone else, he can't actually make up for past mistakes at all. This reality doesn't stop him from trying, because there's perhaps nothing in this world he wishes he could do more. So he makes the effort to do good, because he has to. But the part that no one seems to see, or care about, except for Harry fucking Potter of all people, is that he does it, primarily, because he wants to. 3. He has to be in control. He's a control freak. Nothing is ever in his hands, really. But if he reaches out and takes it, he can't be hurt. If he's holding everything that's happening to him, then there are no mistakes. He makes sure to remind everyone of the bad he's done, so they can't use it against him. It won't get the chance to eat him alive, as long as he's already feeding it. He enters situations with confidence, so he can't falter. He won't have to pick himself back up as long as he doesn't fall in the first place. He carries on as if he's always fine, so he can't feel the ways in which he isn't. Life won't suffocate him as long as he continues to breathe. Fact 1 lends itself to Fact 2, and Fact 2 lends itself to Fact 3. And Fact 3 lends itself to Draco veering to a swift spiral he's entirely sure he'll ever find his way out of, because he's just announced, very loudly, that being with Harry is all he wants. And this is inconceivably damaging to Draco, as a control freak, because it's the most out of control he's ever been. He hadn't meant to say that. He didn't know he was going to say that. He said it, and to deny the truth is a lie by any other name. The thing about control freaks is that they lie, even to themselves. Maybe especially to themselves. Draco feels as if he's just lost any bit of control he's ever had in his entire life, which is how he knows it's true. It's the wildest thing he's ever said. It's the most honest he's ever been with the world, with anyone, with himself. It's true. It's a mistake. It's the breath in his lungs and the beat of his heart, and he can't control it. This means, naturally, Draco isn't taking it well. He gets dissolved into a mental state of hysterics about this for maybe 5 seconds. Overall, then everything unpauses as Harry curses under his breath, still seething, and fists the front of Draco's robes to knock him back into the counter and kiss him. Draco's hands fly up on the other side of Harry's head, rough and desperate to keep him there, from a brief lapse of mental stability, obviously. Harry's hair between Draco's fingers is soft. Harry's lips are not. Those come with heat and teeth. A bite and kiss that leaves Draco more than willing to bleed, if that's what Harry wants. At the moment, though, all Harry seems to want is to kiss Draco within an inch of his life. And yeah, he's doing a mighty fine job of it. Draco's convinced he's about to spontaneously combust on the spot, because one of Harry's hands have let go of his robes to wind up the side of his neck, fingers digging into the back of it, the pressure of those blunt, square nails making him shiver. And Harry's kissing him, deeply, with determination, with defeat. Like a war, it's his fate to win. But a war with any measurement of loss can never be anything other than Pyrrhic victory. It's that they're both surrendering. White flags waving with a whine and a whimper. Because there's no winning or losing here. There's only Harry's tongue in Draco's mouth. And how fucking good it feels. Movement and noise from the doorway. So distant, but jarring all the same. Harry and Draco attempt to peel away from each other swiftly. They really do, but there's a moment before the break where they're curving closer and trying to cling, bodies and minds out of sync, desire and reality misaligned. They do manage it, though Harry is much better at it, almost flinging himself back a step, his chest heaving as Draco's head whips around. Teddy blinks at them from the doorway. His gaze flicks between them, and he says, very softly,
"I heard shouting."
"Yes, we..." Harry's voice is thick, raspy, so he clears it once, twice, a third time, and tries again. "We had a disagreement. I'm sorry you had to hear that, Teddy."
"You're fighting?"
"No. Well, yes. A little bit. It's fine."
"You were kissing," Teddy says. "I saw it."
Harry's eyes sink shut for a moment, and he drags a hand through his hair, which Draco may have accidentally made a mess of. Then he blows out a deep breath and opens his eyes. "That's... well, that did happen, yes. That was... something we did." Teddy's eyes narrow.
I thought you were mortal enemies.
Mortal enemies kiss sometimes, Harry says weakly, clearly out of his depth here. He grimaces almost immediately after he says this, then seems to remember he's the adult of the two of them and coughs, standing up taller. Never mind that. You understand when you're older. Everything's fine, all right? Did we interrupt you? What were you doing? Painting.
Uh-huh,
Teddy replies carelessly.
Is Mr. Draco your boyfriend now? Is he moving in?
Teddy, Harry says, strained. Christ. Draco coughs, carefully pushing himself away from the counter, now that his legs have stopped shaking. Teddy, he can't answer any questions you have, but when he can, he'll be sure to let you know. At the moment, the priority is lunch, I'd say, which Harry was in the middle of preparing.
No, he wasn't. He was kissing you.
Yes, well, he's easily distracted. Anyway, he's about to prepare lunch, and I'm... Draco glances over at Harry, struggling to meet his eyes, wanting to look at him so badly that he almost can't handle getting to do so. Harry's biting his lip, because he's actually being evil all this time. I'm going to go. You don't have to, Harry mumbles. Goodness, you sure changed your tune quickly, didn't you? Okay, you know what? I can't imagine why. You are so... My powers of persuasion are matched, truly. Harry huffs, but his mouth is turning up in one corner, gaze dropping. Absurdly, amazingly, he looks bashful. Yes, Christ, just go, you smug git. I'll see you tomorrow. We should...
Oi!
Teddy bursts out, his hair turning a bright shade of indignant red.
That's not fair. I'm with Gran tomorrow.
Yes, Draco says swiftly. Tomorrow, we'll talk. He clears his throat and looks over at Teddy, who's not pleased. Don't fuss. I'll stop by your Gran's to see you first. Teddy squints.
You swear?
Draco presses his hand to his chest. Solemnly. Harry makes an odd choking noise, and Draco looks over to find those green eyes of Harry's fixed right on him in something akin to wonder, which will make Draco crawl right out of his skin here in a second. So it's for the best he leaves, really. Draco's exit, after that, is as cowardly as it is swift. You've been listening to From Love, Obviously, written by Bizarre Stars and read by Reverie Pie.